This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Should the Detroit Pistons move up in the 2024 draft? And we have some names that Detroit is interested in the free agency class later this summer. We talk about all of that and more on this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big men. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is.
And we're back. Welcome to the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Believe. Myself, Aaron Johnson, and Jasper Apollonia here with you for this week's show. As you heard, we got some great stuff to talk about. We're going to get into all of that. But before we do, want to give a quick word to our sponsors, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. One other thing I wanted to mention before we get into the show, as always, wherever you're watching or listening from, please take a moment to subscribe, give us a follow. Had a great post come out on Substack earlier this week from Mike, just kind of giving us all of the latest surrounding the Detroit Pistons and all of the latest news. In his weekly drive newsletter, talked about Trajan Langdon, Troy Weaver, and plenty more. I also had a piece come out on Wednesday morning discussing three prospects in the 2024 draft that I'm opposed to taking if I'm the Detroit Pistons. I know that some people have had some interesting thoughts or have disagreed with some of the players that I've covered in that piece. So make sure to go over to palaceofpistons.com, check that out, and subscribe to our Substack as well. Okay, let's get into the first topic, sticking with the NBA draft, which is just a few weeks away at this point. I mean, it is quickly approaching, and we've talked about on the podcast some names that we like. We've talked about some names on the Substack as well, kind of covering the player, the fit with the Pistons. But what we haven't talked about is the Pistons not trading the pick and not trading back, but rather trading up. Jasper, there's a couple teams that have been willing to move their top picks in the 2024 NBA draft. The Hawks at one, Houston at three are a couple teams that have been named as teams that are willing or looking to trade off their pick. If you're the Pistons, you got beat up in the lottery, fall to five. Do you look at moving up? Are you interested in moving up? Is there a specific player worth moving up for if you're the Detroit Pistons?
I think, first off, I'll answer the last question you asked. There's always a player worth moving up for if you feel that way. Like, if there is a guy that you like enough to move up for him, of course it's worth it. Like, that's the whole point. That's why you do it. And this is This is an interesting draft because there is no hard set number one overall pick. But, and I think at some level you can look at that and say, well, okay, we could sit at five and we can get our guy. Works both ways, man. There's also a good chance that the guy you think or you want to get at five is gone at one. And that is a risk that you can take. However, if you trade up for the number one overall pick or you trade up for the number three overall pick, that absolutely lessens the chances that you're going to be missing the guy that you want. I know somebody that you're very high on, Aaron, Donovan Klingon, somebody that you wrote about a couple weeks ago, not a couple weeks ago, just last week. We keep recording so many of these special podcasts. You lose a little bit of your sense of time here. We might be doing it again with Monty Williams soon enough. I just think that if there is a player that you really like at the top of the draft, I'm thinking specifically of Donovan Klingon, who has been mocked as high as number one to the Atlanta Hawks, or perhaps a Zachary Risacher, who has been nominally the number one overall pick favorite for a while now, perhaps even an Alex Saar, although I haven't heard as much talk about Saar going number one as you did leading up to this draft. And I think we all kind of figured that would be the case. Usually in these weaker drafts, when there's somebody who's like really hot for much of the year leading up to it, it feels like the draft rolls around and everyone goes, actually, I like this guy better.
Right.
For me, though, I don't think I would be trading up. I just don't see a guy in this draft who moves me so much to where I'd be like, I have to get him. I think no matter who you're taking one through five, there is a similar level of risk. I think that there is a similar level of upside, similar level of downside for all of them. Whether the Pistons front office feels the same way, that's a different question. But I also think that there's a way to move up to number one. There's a way to move up to number three that also improves your team in other ways. And I think specifically when I'm looking at a team like Atlanta, we've discussed the possibility of getting DeJounte Murray for a long time. If you can get the number one pick and get DeJounte Murray, I think that there's something to that. That would pretty much be why I would consider moving up to number one. It's if I can get the number one pick and potentially another player that one of these teams is trying to move off on. Atlanta to me seems, actually, weirdly enough, like the number one pick seems the most gettable and the most appealing in a lot of ways, because not just with Murray, but also with somebody like Clint Capella, the Hawks seem very motivated to move off of them. So I definitely think it's something I would consider. But for a player in particular, me personally, no. The front office might feel differently. And Aaron, I'm interested to see if you feel differently as well.
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is there a player that's worthy of giving up a future asset or multiple assets attaching to your pick, your own pick, that's worth trading up to go get? And is that Risacher? I think if you look at Langdon's past in New Orleans, they really did like drafting forwards, longer forwards that could shoot, defend. You look at guys like Herbert Jones, you look at guys like Trey Murphy, like Risacher kind of falls in that same category, you would at least hope. But is he worth five and a meaningful asset? Like, I don't think five and someone like Quentin Grimes or Marcus Sasser gets you up there. So it's going to cost you someone like an Isaiah Stewart, someone like a Jaden Ivey. And I don't know if in this draft that makes sense. I still think the Pistons' worst case scenario, Risacher, Saar, Klingon are all off the board. I think it gets a lot more interesting. This is going to be an interesting draft nonetheless, just because of how many prospects could go in so many different places. But it got a little bit more interesting now with Topic probably sliding after tearing his ACL and going to be missing next year. who slides into that top four now? I think Topic was probably considered a guy that could certainly go top five. I think the Pistons will still be able to get a player at five that they feel can help them, whether Klingon's still available, whether they take Dalton Connect. If they do really like one of the Kentucky guards, Reed Shepard or Rob Dillingham, like, there will be a player that they like that they can get at five without needing to give up an asset to go up to one to get a prospect that in this draft, I don't really know if he's all that better for them. So that's where I'm at. I don't think the Pistons need to be looking to move up at that cost. I would say if something with Atlanta came to fruition where you could get someone like a DeJounte Murray, that would be way more interesting to me. And maybe, you know, if Atlanta really likes a couple players in this draft and they want to pair these guys with Jalen Johnson and whatever other core players that they're going to keep, maybe there's a world where they could get Murray for five and something, you know. That's where if you can get Murray for five and Ivy or something along those lines, that makes more sense than trading five and Ivy or five and Durin for the number one pick itself, because you'd be getting a proven all-star level player to put alongside Cade Cunningham. So that's where I'm at in this situation. I don't think the Pistons need to be looking to trade up too aggressively.
No, and I think that, look, I'll say this, though. If you can somehow pull off a trade with Atlanta where you're getting back DeJounte Murray and the number one overall pick for five and a couple of players, I think that would be an absolute coup for Detroit. I mean, if you're getting the higher pick and arguably the best player out of that situation, that's just not something that comes along very often. But it does seem this offseason, more than any other, it is a possibility. It's an absolute possibility. We've seen some reports that certain prospects are not meeting with Atlanta, aren't even doing workouts with them. So that definitely puts a little bit of fuel on the fire that Atlanta will not be keeping that pick. It seems as though agents seem to think they're not going to be selecting number one and therefore aren't even bothering with it. I will also say this in regard to Trajan Langdon selecting, you know, these wings that are doing very, very well for New Orleans. You know, Herb Jones was a first team all defense, the only non-big man on that list. I think that's very, very notable. Wing defense is crucial in today's NBA, and to be basically declared as the best wing defender in the NBA, as Herb Jones essentially was, I think says quite a bit. I think what's interesting to note, though, that he and Trey Murphy were both selected outside of the lottery. Trey Murphy was the 17th overall pick. Herb Jones was a second rounder. So I think when I look at Trajan Langdon's draft history, you know, if he does feel strongly enough about a wing to select him number one, that's great. But he's also a guy that I'm inclined to trust with those later picks to find the diamonds in the rough, something that we have been complaining about in regards to Troy Weaver for years, like the inability to really find those impact wings later on, impact players in general, to be honest with you. So
that kind of leads us into the next question I wanted to ask. I mean, at least in my mind, I think it makes more sense for the Pistons to be looking to trade down. I think the problem there is, there's other teams that are willing to do that or want to do that. You know, this is the draft where teams would rather move out of the draft or move back in the draft if they can get another asset, because there's just not as many players that are worthy of a top five pick as, you know, that you feel comfortable that are going to hit. If a team like Memphis really wants Donovan Klingon, which they're said to, and he's on the board and he's made it to five, like, can you get nine from Memphis? Could you get Marcus Smart and nine from Memphis for five? And maybe you've got to put something else in there. You know, I'm not sure the value on Marcus Smart right now. He didn't really play last year. I'm not sure if there was, outside of the injury stuff that he dealt with last year, I'm not sure if there was like a he didn't want to be in Memphis type of thing. I don't know. But is there a world where you could get a legitimate rotation player that could help you and just move back in the draft a handful of slots and still have a chance to draft one. I mean, like, let's be real here. Out of all these names that have been linked to the Pistons, let's say they did trade back to nine, you'd have to imagine that one of Shepherd, Bouzelis, Connect, et cetera, you know, one of these wings from France that continues to rise up the mock draft boards, like one of these guys would end up being there four picks later that they could get and could help them the same way that whoever they took at five might have been able to as well. So I think I would be more interested in trading back if possible. I just think that that might be just as hard as trying to trade up because there are too many teams that seemingly want to trade back in this draft.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to like how far down do they want to trade back? And also, what are you getting in return? Like that to me is kind of the key.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
The Pistons just, they need NBA players right now. And it does feel as though if you're not getting, say, a Donovan Clingan at number five, maybe a Reed Shepherd, I don't know, Dalton Connect, like you're probably in a position where you're going to have to take a less NBA ready player at this point. Like that's just the reality of it. Like I've advocated for Bouzelis on the podcast, but I'm under no illusions. Like that is a dude who needs work. And I like the idea of, say, trading for Marcus Smart, another guy who has been linked to the Pistons for a long time now, since he went down with that season-ending injury, is Zach LaVine for the Chicago Bulls. I think we've both come out and said, LaVine isn't really exactly the guy we'd want, but I could definitely see moving down to 11 for LaVine, and then maybe you take a guy like Ron Holland, who is definitely a project as well, but certainly flashes some upside. Would he be available at 11? Maybe not. That's a different discussion. But like, I think that there are certainly possibilities for Detroit to move down. I think they're also in a position, unlike some of the other teams that might be motivated to move down in Atlanta and Houston, I think they're also in a position to take on salary that those teams wouldn't necessarily. Like Atlanta wants to clean up their cap. They want to move forward with a youth movement that they think is already in place. Same kind of thing with Houston. I think they'd be less inclined to take on a player like Marcus Smart. I think they'd be less inclined to take on a Zach LaVine. Whereas the Pistons, straight up, they just need talent. Like they need vets right now. So I think you're actually in a better position, despite having a lower draft pick than some of these teams ahead of you to move down, just because you're able to absorb more salary. You're willing to take more risks, presumably. So yeah, I think there's actually, for Detroit, a much better path to trading down than moving up. And I think opposed to the other teams that are kind of in that place, they have a better chance at moving down simply because of the cap situation and the state of the team right now.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, you know, we're 3 weeks out or whatever from the draft. Like, so much can happen in these next 3 weeks. The Pistons have a lot of decisions that they have to make already. Is there even enough time to do something like that in the coming weeks? Like, how much more does they have to do to get integrated with the franchise? He's still naming executives and staff members right now. Like, there's still enough time to make a trade. You've got 3 weeks. If you want to get something done, you have time to do it.
Look, you can do it up until the last minute on draft night too, if you really need to. I believe that they have enough time to do it. You know, I'll say this, actually, if you're taking on like a Zach LaVine type contract, there's a chance you could also just get 11 and not even have to move down. Like, if you're like, I do think that the Bulls are in a position where like they're probably going to have to treat Zach LaVine as a negative asset. So I think you can also acquire more draft picks without moving down from five. I think that that's a legitimate possibility as well. And I think that perhaps, you know, changes the equation for Detroit. I think that there is enough time. There is enough flexibility. I think if they are trying to get a deal done on draft day, I think they can do it. And frankly, like, time should not be an issue. I know that it took a longer time than you or I probably wanted for the Pistons to hire Langdon, but like, I think that the messaging from Tom Gorse has been very clear. He wants to see results very, very quickly. So yeah, if Langdon is the real deal, it doesn't really matter how much time he's got. He's going to have to do something very soon, whether it's in the draft or it's in free agency. So I don't know. I'm kind of interested to hear what you think on that, Aaron, and also our listeners, of course. But like, do you think that there is a possibility of Detroit acquiring more draft picks, perhaps in the later half of the lottery, perhaps even outside of the lottery, without trading the fifth pick at all? Because that's where Langdon's had a lot of his success as a drafter, is actually outside of the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the Troy Weaver special, right? Like, find your way back into the draft, find your way back into the first round and draft another prospect. I think if you're Detroit, like, you know, I don't necessarily know if they're going to just straight up add multiple first round picks. I think they are under the impression that they've already got a lot of young guys. They need to kind of build up the roster with some veterans and some more experienced players rather than adding more young projects to a team that already has a lot of internal development to figure out. That being said, as someone that has very, very slightly, the caveat there, very, very slightly warmed up to the idea of trading for Zach LaVine, I think if you traded five for LaVine and 11, and you could still get someone like Keyshawn George or one of those other wings that ends up still being on the board, you could talk me into that. I think there might be some interest on Detroit's side with LaVine that's not like sourced or anything. That's just kind of speculating based off of where they want to go next year. I still don't love it. I think I'm warmed up a little bit, but if they wanted to move back and they felt like they could get someone that could still help them at 11 or 15, you know, I think if they wanted to draft an older guy like Tristan Da Silva from Colorado, who knows how to play on offense, like shoots, gets to the rim a little bit, like he has his significant weaknesses. Like, he's not super, super athletic. Like I said, he's older, but I've seen a lot of people give him kind of like that Cam Johnson comparison from the 2019 draft, who was someone that I was a huge proponent of for Detroit back then. But if they wanted to get someone like that who could step in and help them on the wing, like, and get a player that still helps them, like, they could do that. I just don't think it makes sense for them to, like, have five, get 11, try to get 24. Like, I just, they have enough young guys. I think they need to try to figure out how to get some older guys in the room that fit and can help nurture the younger guys and develop the ones that are already in the building.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think another guy, if Klingon's off the board, I'd be looking at if they did trade out a number five a little further down. Khalil Ware, I think, would be an interesting big man prospect, especially if they do take, you know, decide to move on from Jalen Duren and take a swing at a center via trade or free agency. I think that could be an interesting piece potentially for the future. I mean, I don't think he even started playing basketball until he was like a sophomore or junior in high school, something crazy like that. Like, talk about a guy with all the tools, but maybe not the polish. That'd be an interesting player for me as well. I think that's a perfect segue, though, into what we're talking about next, Aaron, which is free agency. James Edwards III reported that the Pistons are definitely looking at free agents. And surprise, surprise, we've already been talking about a couple of them on this very podcast. Malik Monk, Nick Claxton, and somebody that we haven't discussed this year, but I think I've advocated for a couple of years now via free agency or trade. Gary Harris is another player that they seem to be looking at as well. So, Aaron, I'm interested. Obviously, we've already discussed a couple of these guys, but any name that stands out to you there, would you be happy with bringing in any of those guys? And what would that look like ideally for you for the Pistons if they were to go big in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Malik Monk and Nick Claxton are certainly tiers above Gary Harris in terms of production value, et cetera, et cetera. You're paying them a lot more money than you're paying Gary Harris. But all of those guys certainly help Detroit. I think Malik Monk, who, God, it feels like he's been in the league for forever. It's like with Andre Drummond, like, he's only 30 right now, but it feels like he's been in the NBA for 20 years. And Malik Monk's only 26, but he's been in the league since he's, you know, 18. He was a one and done at Kentucky, and he's a very, very good player. And he gives Detroit a veteran playoff experience. Obviously helps this team. Nick Claxton gives Detroit a experienced rim protector, capable defender, but he clashes with the prospect center that you have right now in Jalen Duren. And what does that mean if you're willing to pay Nicholas Claxton the $25 million a year that he's reportedly going to get? And what does that mean for Jalen Duren if you're willing to pay Claxton that? Because you can't pay two centers, you know, a combined $45 million a year when Jalen Duren's extension eligible. But all of these guys help this team. If they come out of free agency with Malik Monk, Nick Claxton, and Gary Harris, like, in a weak free agency class, that's probably a success. Let's say they use five, and you know, I think if they're getting Claxton, they're not drafting a center, so you're not taking Klingon, you're probably taking a wing there. You know, let's say they end up with Connect, or God, I don't know. They use five, and they bring in these three free agents, like, that's four players that come in and can have a role on your team that you didn't have last year, and they're all going to help. So I'd be interested in all of these guys. I think Malik Monk is probably the most popular name amongst them. Locally, Gary Harris is going to get some love just because of his Michigan State connection. But all those guys help Detroit, and they all provide things that Detroit certainly needs. So I'm for it. I think these are the right names for Detroit to be looking at. You know, will they be able to cough up the money for Nicholas Claxton? Brooklyn said that they'll match pretty much anything for him. They can beat out Sacramento for Malik Monk, and that's the thing. Like, I think Malik Monk probably wants to go back to Sacramento. Sacramento's pinched on how much they can offer him. Detroit can pay him a lot more, so we'll see how aggressive Langdon is. Like, will he overpay by a ton to get a guy? And that's something we've talked about before. The Pistons might have to do that to start bringing in some valuable players here.
I think even if Brooklyn does match Claxton, this is one of those things that we harped on last year when Detroit did not even attempt to go after restricted free agents in like Cam Johnson, I think was the biggest name there, where look, okay, you go for a restricted free agent, you lose out, that's fine, but you're making the other team pay at the very least. And I'm totally fine with going after somebody like Nick Claxton and losing out on it as long as you are going for it. And that's one thing that I think we all agree, like we want to see from Trajan Langdon is like, I want to see that aggressiveness. I want to see that going after it. Even if you're not going to win it, doesn't matter. You're at least going for it. You're making an attempt. You're giving it your all. I think that's something that we absolutely need to see from him as opposed to the last regime. Another thing that I really like about the idea of actually all three of these free agents, but specifically Monk and Claxton, is that they're veterans. But in regards to those two, they're young veterans. Malik Monk's 26. Nick Claxton's 25. You're not paying for guys that have already gone through the majority of their NBA careers, and you're paying for their production from when they were 28, 29. No, you're paying for guys who have shown that they're able to produce on a pretty high level and also are entering their athletic primes at this point in their careers. So I think that that's absolutely like an underrated but very appealing aspect to both of those players. With Gary Harris as well, no, he's not what he used to be, but he is still a very good three-point shooter. I believe he shot 37% last year, 40% or something the year before that. He still can knock him down. That's something the Pistons very much need off their bench. And he also provides veteran leadership. He's been around the league. He knows what it's like. He's been a part of young teams on the rise. I think the Denver Nuggets, I think the Orlando Magic last year. So all three of those guys, not only are they good players, they also fit what we've been talking about, which is like, where do these guys come into this roster and make you better in a meaningful manner? You can see all three of them immediately stepping in and fitting a role that the Pistons desperately need right now. Malik Monk with that secondary creation, that explosiveness, little bit of movement shooting off the dribble. You talk about Gary Harris as like a catch and shoot three-pointer and that veteran presence of the locker room, and Nick Claxton as a very, very good rim protector. So all three of these guys absolutely fit what the Pistons are looking for. And I think more importantly, they fit with the timeline as well. Like if you're signing Claxton or Monk to a multi-year contract, when Cade Cunningham signs his extension, you're now locking him in with a core of guys that fit with his skill set and complement him in a meaningful manner. So I like all three of these names, to be completely honest with you. I don't know. Is there anyone else that you might throw in? Is there any way that you're not thrilled about these guys? I don't know.
I think.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I think I like the idea of going after some quote-unquote smaller names rather than bigger names like a Klay Thompson or Tobias Harris, and kind of spreading that money around. Like, instead of paying $30, $40 million a year to someone like Thompson or Harris, can you spread that money around and get a combination of Monk, Derek Jones Jr., Claxton, Kyle Anderson? Like, can you go and get 3-4 guys with your cap space rather than Tobias Harris and probably a couple other smaller names? I think it makes sense for the Pistons to go for quantity and experience. And I like all three of those names. And then I like those names that I mentioned. I think this is a weak free agency class overall, but if the Pistons are willing to spend, they have the most money to spend. So they can pay for the guys that they want, assuming those guys are going to be motivated by the money, which tends to be the case more often than not. So along with those guys that James Edwards III mentioned, I think Derek Jones Jr., seeing him play in a Luka Doncic lineup and knowing how the Pistons kind of envision Cade Cunningham as their own version of Luka Doncic, like, I think Derek Jones Jr. makes a ton of sense. If they want another center, Isaiah Hartenstein makes sense. De'Anthony Melton for a veteran guard, defensive-minded guard, makes sense. So there's a bunch of those, like, mid-tier role players that have that experience, are veterans, are known for being able to do certain things. I think those types of guys make sense for Detroit.
It's interesting because, you know, you mentioned this is a weaker free agency class, and I think that's true at the top, but I think this is a much stronger free agency class in the middle, like middle tier of players than last year's was. I see a lot of players out there that really could fit with what Detroit is trying to do. You saw me fist bump when you mentioned Kyle Anderson. You know I want him. I've always wanted him. I love me some Kyle Anderson. Give me slow-mo, baby. And I think, like, just where the Pistons are at in terms of their cap space, in terms of their flexibility, where they are as a franchise, what they're trying to build, I think that this is actually a very, very good low-key free agency class for Detroit. I think they can put a lot of different feelers out there. I think that even if they strike out on one or two guys, there's still going to be, as you mentioned, several more players who fit, maybe not quite as well, maybe on not as such a high level as their first choices, but still fit with this roster and fit with this vision. So I do anticipate a trade coming down the pipes, but I also think that, like, there's a good chance the Pistons really, really focus most of their attention on free agency this year. And that's not to say that, like, you build good teams by just building them through free agency, unless, of course, you're the 2017 Golden State Warriors. But, like, even then, they had a couple guys in place by then already. They'd done a couple things in the playoffs. I just think that, like, if you're the Pistons and your goal is to get better this year, maybe not even make the playoffs, maybe not even make the play-in, but just become a competitive team to where you can then evaluate what you have on your roster and make additional moves from there, I think free agency has a chance to be very, very, very lucrative for Detroit in terms of building up that roster and rehabbing some of their younger players' trade value as well. Like Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, Asar, these guys, you hope their trade value will never be lower than it is right now. I think if you bring in a couple veterans, even if you decide to stay pat a little bit with trading the young guys, it gives you the ability to maybe move them for more later on when you actually have a better feel for your roster and how it can be competitive.
I think there's a clear path for Detroit to kind of follow the Houston Rockets and what they did last year. Like, they kept their young core together, but they spent their cap space on veterans. Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, Jeff Green. Like, they brought in guys at every position that provided competition, that provided leadership, that provided necessary skills. I think that makes sense for Detroit. We saw the jump that Houston made, and in a much weaker conference, there could be that opportunity for Detroit to make a similar type of jump if they go out, if they commit to spending, if they maximize their assets in the trade market. Like, I still think they might need to trade one of the young guys, but they could still keep the majority of the core, if not all of the core, together and still improve this team simply by adding 3 to 5 veterans that know how to play. I mean, there's a ton of roster spots. There's a ton of minutes that should be open on Detroit's roster based off what we saw last season. Bring in competition, bring in veterans that aren't used to sitting, make every player earn their minutes, build that system of accountability. Like, it's something the Pistons didn't have last year. Who were you taking Jalen Duren out for? Tosani Iwoma? Like, you weren't. He was going to play regardless. So there was no one worth giving minutes to over these young guys because you simply didn't put enough talent or experience on the roster. You need to fix that this time around. You need to light a fire under some of these guys and let them know that they're not just going to be babied and given every opportunity despite not meeting the necessary standards of playing NBA basketball on a nightly basis. So I think the Pistons need to really look at how Houston managed last offseason and try to follow a similar path as they did.
Yeah, I'm so glad you actually brought up Houston because I think that's a perfect example of kind of what I'm saying in regards to rehabbing your young guys, you know, their trade value, and even how you're going to build your roster. Like, Alperen Sengun exploded this year. And I think if you had, before those signings, if you had asked most people around the league, like, what should the Houston Rockets do? Who should they be building around? Like, who's their best young player? I don't think Sengun would have been the answer to any of those questions. And now the equation changes a little bit. I think Jalen Green was really like this is the guy. And now, you know, I that's not to say I think Houston's trading Jalen Green or that Jalen Green's no good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, now if you try to trade Alperen Sengun versus last year, the return is monumentally different. You're getting way more back for him than you would have. And the reason for that is that they just surrounded him with good veteran players that could bring out his strengths even more. So, yeah, I'm really glad you brought up Houston. I think that's actually kind of a perfect example of what we are looking for Detroit to do during this offseason. Just get better, see what you have. Just don't be a laughing stock. And genuinely, like, when you just get to that point, things actually become easier because no one's looking at your roster and saying, this guy's overrated, this guy sucks. You're not getting, you know, all this slander thrown the way of some very talented players who are just put into a bad situation. There we go. The mute button's hard, man.
One other thing that I wanted to mention here before we go is I wanted to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers coaching search because I think there's a Detroit connection there. Mark Stein, former ESPN staff member for years, has kind of been out on his own, has his own Substack, and still does his own NBA reporting, mentioned that there is still a potential that Monty Williams, if fired by the Detroit Pistons, could end up being the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. after he reported that, the next morning, Adrian Wojnarowski dropped a major, major, major Woj bomb and said that the Lakers were going after Danny Hurley of UConn for their open position. That followed Shams Charania's report from, was it a few days ago now, that the Lakers had fallen upon J.J. Redick as the front runner for the head coaching position. So a lot going on there. In a world where the Pistons do fire Monty Williams, like, if J.J. Redick's not the guy in Los Angeles, could it be the guy in Detroit? I just wanted to throw that out there because I think that's at least worth bringing up. There's a connection to Langdon and the Pelicans. J.J. was a player for New Orleans. I think that might be worth looking at.
I just think, first off, the Lakers, what is going on with this coaching, sir? You're going after a college coach, a guy who hasn't coached anything above third graders, and a guy who should be coaching third graders in Monty Williams. So I just think, for me, like, yeah, man, hey, you want Monty Williams, go for it, man. Take him. I'll buy the plane ticket myself. Like, I got the miles, brother. I got the Delta Sky Miles card. I got a few left over. I'll pack his bags for him, man. I'll throw him on the plane myself. Yeah, I mean, J.J. Redick, I don't know, man. I don't think that's what this team needs right now. Like, go out, get a guy who is young, yes, but like has actual cachet around the league as a head coach. I'm not trying to do experiments right now. And of course, like, I'm not going to be sitting in on these interviews. Who knows? Maybe J.J. Redick like walks in the door and just blows everybody away. But I've listened to his podcast and I've seen him on First Take, and I think he's a smart guy. I think he knows a lot about basketball, obviously more than I do. Do I see him as a head coach? I don't think so right now at this moment. I don't know if the personality is there, to be honest with you.
I think it'd be an incredibly tough sell from the Lakers' perspective to, instead of bringing in a two-time national champion coach from UConn, bring in a 14-win coach from the worst team in the league in Monty Williams. That would be a really, really tough sell to give to their fan base, to unless LeBron is the one pushing it. Like, I just think that would be a really tough sell. So I don't know how likely Monty Williams being the coach of the Lakers actually is. It just doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't make sense. But I see what you're saying on J.J. Redick when it comes to Detroit. I think it would be the kind of big name hire that Detroit has liked in the past, as we've seen with the Stan Van Gundy hire, the Dwayne Casey hire, and the Monty Williams hire. It would be the big name. It would be the quote unquote big fish. But would it be best for this team? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I feel that way. A first time coach coming into a young team that definitely needs a leader, someone that's going to help them take that next step in their development. Don't know if he's the perfect candidate, but I don't know who is the perfect candidate right now. So I think you'd at least have to consider it.
I think my last word on that would be, yes, I mean, Tom Gorris does love a name, but he likes an established name. Like, Tom Gorris, he's always hunting for respect, because I don't think he's very respected among league circles. Like, I don't think people look at him and go, wow, what a basketball mind we have here. You know, you look at the guys that he's hired, Stan Van Gundy, long track record of success, guys who have come close to a championship and not quite there. You know, Stan Van Gundy, Dwayne Casey, Monty Williams, these are guys who, yes, were big names, but they were big names because of what they did in the NBA already. J.J. Redick is a big name, but not as a coach. Although I don't know what his, you know, maybe his kid's elementary school, he's really killing it out there. You know, maybe they're a powerhouse. Yeah. It's the DeMatha High of third grades. But I don't think he's the kind of big name that Tom Gorris tends to go for, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought we might have some more established news on the Pistons head coaching search by the time we recorded this week, but it just never came to fruition. You know, the Pistons have made a couple executive hires. Michael Blackstone's their vice president of fastball operations under Langdon. And Langdon brought in another staff member who previously was with the Pistons, but that was quite some time ago, and I don't have his name on the top of my head right now. But he's starting to fill out his staff. We don't know for sure on the coaching search. We know he's either been or is meeting with Williams and the coaching staff at this point in time. Don't know if we're going to get an official word and when on their futures. But based off the past few weeks, it'll probably be shortly after we finish recording this podcast or shortly after this podcast is released out online. Jesper, I'm all good on this show. I think we covered a lot in a decent span of time. I don't have anything else to add. I think I'm just kind of in a wait and see point on really what the Pistons do with the coaching search. I have to hope that by this point next week, we know more on that.
I think we will. I think that Langdon is doing the responsible thing and building his organization from the top down. And I think you have to have, regardless of what you do with Monty Williams, you can't really do a full coaching search if you don't have the guys above him in place to conduct that coaching search. So to me, it makes sense. Would I like to see something a little quicker? Of course, but like there is just a natural process of how things go. So I'm not surprised that they haven't made a decision on Monty Williams. Like I said last week, wouldn't be surprised to see him go, would not be surprised to see him stay. I just think there's a timing issue. I think there's definitely a money issue there as well, even though Tom Gore has said that the checkbook is open. I think at this point, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see something in more concrete by next week, or like you said, by the time we finish the Zoom podcast. So I don't really have anything else for you, Aaron, but I definitely think there's going to be more to talk about next week. It's coming.
All right, well, before we go, want to give a quick word to all of the different places that you can connect with Palace of Pistons on. First and foremost, wherever you're listening to this show from or watching this show from, hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, leave us a like. Tell us what you think in the comments about anything that we talked about. If you want the Pistons to trade up, you want them to trade down, you want them to stay in the pad at five for a certain prospect, tell us what you think. Tell us what you think about the free agency class and the names that you're interested in. I think the engagement lately, the numbers lately have been so, so incredible, the support you guys give us. And we love hearing what you guys have to say. And we like that you guys are liking the show and enjoying the show right now. So wherever you're watching from, make sure you follow and subscribe. Head on over to our Substack, palaceofpistons.com. Drop in your email there. It takes 30 seconds. And from there on out, you'll get all of our content that we post, including the podcast, directly to your email inbox as soon as it's live. Go follow us on all of our socials as well at Palace of Pistons on X and Facebook and TikTok. And then Instagram is Palace of Pistons. Those are all our plugs. That's a lot of plugs, but we appreciate the support as always. For myself, Aaron Johnson, and my co-host, Jesper Apollonia, thanks so much for listening to this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast brought to you by Bleav. Make sure to use BetOnline on our promo code Bleav, BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's going to do it for this week's show. We will see you guys next week.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.